Okay, I'm back. Took a little extended break there, but I do hope you enjoyed that. It is well with my soul. A good old standby there, a little more modern version of it, but I enjoy it nonetheless. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and I would like you to go to my website and shoot me an email. Just tell me you're listening. You have no idea how much it means to me to hear from you, so crosstheborder.org. You'll find an email link there, and do check out the resources and so forth there. And anything I've mentioned, be sure to email me and ask me about it. Like the study on the name, I've published that in a PDF form, 36 pages. By the time you get done with that, if you think the name is not important, then you probably aren't listening to this program anyway. So, but I hope you'll stick around and just go through the scripture with me. As a young Christian, I used to listen to a program called Through the Bible, and many of you are familiar with James Vernon McGee, and I listened to him many years, and I just decided that, you know, I want to go through the Bible. And of course, not the same way that Mr. McGee has gone through the Bible. And I did learn a lot from him, but still I think that a lot was left out, and he'd go by his education and so forth. And yeah, you know, he did what he was educated to do. And I know that he did a good work, and a lot of people were edified by that. And I've had people tell me, well, you know, some of these things that just, you know, they're a distraction. Well, I don't know. I have the message of the gospel of the kingdom here that I preach, and it's the same one that my master preached. I'm not greater than he is. If he preached the gospel of the kingdom, then I can preach that gospel too. And as I go through the Bible, and I think I should call this, maybe I should call it Through the Bible for the 21st century, and really for all time, because I really want to do this for all time. There was a great Reformation some 500 years ago, and you know what I find astounding is how many people are still, you know, they still pin their hat on the Reformation. And while I greatly appreciate what the Reformers did, I don't revere them. You know, I don't hold them up. I want to look beyond them, because I want to look like Moses here. I want to see the face of Elohim. I want to see the face of God. I want to hear from His Holy Spirit. And He's given me His Word. And I have tools here that the Reforming Fathers didn't have. So now I'm more accountable than they are. Unbelievable, huh? And the great Reformers, they came out of Catholicism. And how did they do that? Well, they got a hold of the scriptures. Of course, perhaps they learned Latin and they started reading the Vulgate and going, you know, this just doesn't jibe with the actions. They saw the scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, the teachers of their day, and they said, hey, you know, this is what the master was rebelling this, because they're reading the word and they're saying, this ain't it. And so they started the Reformation. And but the problem is, it should not have been a reformation. It should have been a restoration. They should have set about to restore. But they didn't have the tools that I have. I have here eSword, e-sword.net. You go there, download the program, and it's great. You know, you have I have the original language with every word. I can look at each word as I'm reading, and I can see that even the translation is wrong. You know, how they obliterated the name of the Creator more than 6,000 times in the translation. Why did they do it? Well, I believe that they did it because they were anti-Semitic. They did not want this Jewish stuff in their Bible. And this comes from Rome because, you know, Rome is historically anti-Semitic. Greatly anti-Semitic. And that's why they replaced the name of the Creator, I believe, for more than 6,000 times. And this influence was carried over into the Protestant churches and into the Reformation. And, you know, this is an understanding that I have. And I really not trying to take anything away from the Reformers, because I love them. You know, they're my brothers of centuries old. They had a spirit that caused them to rebel against the tyranny and the lies and the deception of their day. And, you know, we're still here rebelling against tyranny. And that's not really rebellion, is it? But you get the idea. I'm rebelling against tyranny. I'm rebelling against deception because it is the rule of the day. So I'm rebelling against the rebels. And that's kind of a, you know, two negatives make it a positive. So what I'm doing is a positive thing. But we need a restoration. And I believe that's what the Heavenly Father is calling about now. We're going from reformation to restoration. We're going to bring back His name, because I know that when He comes and He sets His foot on the Mount of Olives and He sets up His physical kingdom for 1,000 years, when He obliterates all the kingdoms of men, when they're all turned to dust like the chaff that the wind drives away and they are obliterated forever, then He will restore all things as they are supposed to be in His kingdom. And we will follow His feast days. We will follow His moons, the calendar, His calendar, by the moons, as He set it in the sky, like He said He did. And we will be using, He said He's going to restore a pure language. And, you know, this is just a part of it, you know. And I'm just beginning to broach the restoration. And perhaps there are those that will follow after me and will do more and will add to it. But it has to begin somewhere. And it's never popular at the beginning. It will never be popular. You know, if I want to become a great evangelist and rake in the bucks and sell thousands and millions of books, I could do that. All I'd have to do is get me a 501c3. And you know, and get off on the fantasy circuit like this Left Behind garbage, this fiction. It's very popular because it's deceptive. It draws the people away. This is the real distraction. The distraction is not getting into the name and other truths in the Scripture, because who gets to decide which truth is a distraction and which truth is good? But the whole Word is the truth. And I don't think we should neglect any of the truth. And I feel like if I'm willing to compromise on any truth of His Word, then people are going to see that. And they're going to say, well, he's a compromiser. Therefore, you know, I can trust this man to compromise on what he feels is a distraction, or what he feels is not relevant, or what he feels might interfere with evangelism. So, therefore, I believe it negates everything that I say. That people are, that are truly looking for the truth, yeah, it may be a little strange to hear me reading, you know, how Yahuwah called unto him out of the mountain, because it's the Tetragrammaton, it's the actual name of our Creator, because it doesn't make any sense if I read Exodus 19:3 and it says, and Moses went up to God, and God called unto him, when it's using the name. It's naming who the God is. It's the name. And then I just, if I mouse over it, my, and it says Yahuwah in the Hebrew, am I not supposed to say the name? Am I supposed to obliterate it? Because I understand now that the reason that they obliterated it was because of the anti-Semite persuasion of the day. You know, it's just like, you know, in the old South, they had a prejudice against black people, so they called them niggers. You know, that word came to have a bad connotation. So they had a prejudice. The people, you know, but you understood if you were in the South and people were doing things that way, you understood that that was the way they did things, and you understood why they did it, perhaps. But that doesn't justify, and it doesn't mean that I keep doing it. That it's okay then, or it's okay in the context, or it's okay where you're at. But that doesn't mean you keep doing it. So is it all right for me to continue to obliterate the name of our Creator? No. Because, I mean, one of these days I'm going to have to do a study just on the name. And how I would start out the study on the name, which I haven't done in that study that I borrowed and worked on a little bit, the one that you can get from me if you email me and say, can I have the study on the name? Send me the link. But I would go through the scripture first, and I would say everywhere it says, call on His name, glorify His name, sanctify His name, lift up the name. The name, the name, the name, and over thousands of time, it refers to the name, but the name has been totally obliterated. Something is wrong with that. And if we can't see there's something wrong with that, then we need to look a little harder. Okay, well, let's jump back into our text here and see how far we're going to get today. Let's see, if you will, verse 5, chapter 19, now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yahuwah had commanded him. And all the people answered together, and they said, all that the Lord, Yahuwah, hath commanded, has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yahuwah. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yahuwah. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify, set them apart, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day Yahuwah will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So he's going to come down in the thick cloud on the third day. So they're to get themselves to ready, wash their clothes, to set themselves apart, to sanctify themselves. That means to put off. It says, be ready against the third day, for the third day of Yahuwah will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up unto the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount to the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. So they're to abstain, you know, from intimacy with their wives, 3 days against the third day. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because Yahuwah descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. I mean, what a scene. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because Yahuwah read that one already. And verse 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And Yahuwah came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and Yahuwah called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Yahuwah to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to Yahuwah, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto Yahuwah, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou charges us, saying, set bounds around the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, thou shalt not come up, thou and Aaron with thee. Let me read that again. And he said to them, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spoke unto them. This is a hard circumstance to even imagine. And now we're in chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahuwah, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what we're getting into here is the Ten Commandments. And he's speaking these words to Moses and Aaron. And the priests were not allowed to come up. And these are the words of which he's going to write on the tablets of stone. But he's speaking them now. And I have these posted, of all places, in the restroom here. And so I read them, you know, every day. And they've become a part of who I am. And I would suggest that everyone post this in their house somewhere, in a prominent place, someplace where you're going to see it. Okay, we're talking about, we're in Exodus 21, and really this would be a great place to start up tomorrow, because we're getting into the Ten Commandments. And anyway, I'm just going to go through it. Like I said, you need to have this printed out and posted somewhere in your house. And starting here, just the entire thing, because all of these words are so important, and I really hate to even start on it, because we're so close to the end of the program hour here, but we'll have to pick it up. Anyway, I am Yahuwah, thy God, and it says there, the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, the 3068, thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahuwah, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Boy, there's so much to discuss here. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. There's a clear distinction here. This is how our Heavenly Father makes a distinction between those that hate him and those that love him. And here it is. I just read it. We keep his commandments. We love him. And it looks like I've run out of time today. So we're going to pick up here tomorrow. So, there's nothing more important in this life than that you cross the border into his kingdom and obtain eternal life. Visit me, email me, crosstheborder.org.